an old story about how a Savior came from glory and how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning and of His precious blood's atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. I heard about His healing and of His cleansing power revealing. And how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about a mansion that He's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And about the angels singing in the old redemption story. And how some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. We know this song is Victory in Jesus. But there's a key word in this song. And a key word today in our scripture reading that I want to talk about this morning. And it's the word repent. In this song, Victory in Jesus, it spells out how we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in the old redemption story. How Jesus came from glory and gave His life on Calvary to save each one of us. And how His precious blood atoned for us. How He healed many people when He was here on earth. He continues to heal today about His healing power in each one of us. And how He's prepared a place in glory for each one of us. That someday we'll be there also and we'll sing up there the song of victory with all the heavenly hosts. We know as we go through time how language changes. Meanings of words seem to take on new meanings and new cultures and over the period of time. And a lot of times some of the words are lost or forgotten. We've often heard the term words get in the way, and sometimes they do. As you go from culture to culture or even community to community, words mean something different. And the same is true with the Bible and with church. There's words like sanctification, justification, propitiation, ecclesiastical, eschatology, words like that that many years ago, most church people, quote unquote, knew the meanings of, but today probably very few do. And also this includes the word repent. The word repent has sort of changed our understanding of what is meant in the Bible by repent over the years. We like to think when we hear that word repent of the old revivals, the loud preachers pointing fingers. We think this word repent is such a harsh word. But you see, it's to give an example of how we are to act and what's to take place in our lives. And it's an example of how the changes in our language take place. Some of today's Bible translations have changed our text today to read Jesus preached repent to Jesus preaching turn from your sins and turn to God. When you really dig down like we're going to do here today to understand what that word meant, what He meant, what it means to us today, I think you'll see how important it is that we understand these concepts and these words. Webster's Dictionary says that the word repent means to feel sorry for or feel such regret for an action or an intention as to change one's mind. We regret something, the way we've acted, the way we've thought, something we've said. We regret it so much, it bothers us so much, that we change in what we think or how we act. In the book of Matthew, when we read Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," the Greek word for that word repent means to think differently afterwards. In other words, after something happens, you think completely different about a topic or about the way you should live. And when you think differently, you're going to live differently. That's just a fact of life. When one reads about repentance in the Bible, it is most often, if not always, a word of warning. So it's important that we understand what that word means, what Jesus was saying then, and what He's saying to us. The word repent is found over 43 times in the King James Version. And in each case, it implies a changing of the thinking and the actions of a person in order to redirect one's life in accordance with God's way. From the beginning of time, Humankind was told to repent, to turn back to God. That was the message of the Old Testament prophets. That was the message of John the Baptist. It was the message of Jesus. It was the message of Paul. It should be the message of every pulpit preacher today, to repent. Now, repent was a message that, of course, was not taken favorably in Old Testament times, and it's not taken favorably today. But it is a message, nonetheless, that we need to hear, that we need to understand, but more so, it's something that we need to do in our lives. When we read about this today in the text, we find Jesus beginning His ministry. Okay, John the Baptist had come to prepare the way. His message was repent. John the Baptist came preaching in the desert in Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus, when He began His ministry, had been led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, been tempted by Satan. The devil left Him. The angels came and attended Him. Then Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, He went to and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And from that time on, in His ministry, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. No matter how harsh, and some did not believe then, and some don't believe today that it applies to us personally, no matter how harsh it seems, we must not lose it's important to us today in our lives. First of all, it was important to Jesus. In Mark 1:15, Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. In Luke 13:3, Jesus says, unless you repent, you'll perish. The first thing that the Bible tells us about Jesus' ministry was that He had a ministry teaching repentance. Secondly, it's important to us because when the Bible speaks of repentance, it does so in a way that warns people that if you don't repent, you're going to perish. But if you do repent, you will be saved. Thirdly, understanding of repentance and what it means to change from something to something. The old self changes. There's a new self. It does not change in quantity or acts, numbers of things that you do. It changes in quality. We have to understand, biblically speaking, that repentance is not positional, it's relational. I want to read something to you. When John was preaching repentance, it tells us, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our father. He says, I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. You see, the mindset of the Jewish people at this time was because they were children of Abraham, they were going to be saved. It's called corporate salvation. We've been talking about it in Bible study. They believed because they were children of Abraham, they were going to be saved. But they had distorted all of God's laws, His rules, His ways. And they came to John, and John called them a brood of vipers. A brood of vipers, meaning they were offspring of snakes. He told them that they should produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, you say you've repented, then act like you've repented. Produce fruit to prove that you've repented. So we see that it's not positional. It's not about who you are. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about how you were raised. It's not about what school you go to. It's not about your degree. It's not about your name or anything about us. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. You need to change this mindset. Now you can believe or you can repent of believing in a certain weatherman because you used to think that he wasn't very accurate. Now he's accurate, so you repent of how you thought about him. Now you like him. Or you can change the way you think about a certain car after you drive it. You're really impressed. But we need to talk about this spiritually and eternally. And when we think about our eternal future as Christians, we need to think differently than the world. We need to repent or change our mindsets. There has to be a change in us that dictates our actions. There has to be a transformation. And it begins, as Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Only by that transformation, transforming our minds. And how does that happen? Transformation comes through hearing the gospel. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. From hearing comes believing. Paul said to the Ephesians, now that you've heard the Word of truth, you're included. You were also included in Christ when you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Having heard, you believed. Having believed, you were included. Through believing or thinking differently afterwards, it tells us by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Through thinking differently comes acting differently. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So transformation comes through hearing the gospel. From hearing comes believing. Through believing comes thinking differently afterwards. Through thinking differently comes acting differently. Because you see, the kingdom of heaven is not here on this earth. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. And when Jesus came, He said, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Some translations say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's now. It's right now. Well, we say, why should anybody repent? What's the purpose of it? I feel like I'm a pretty good person. I do a lot of things. I go to church every Sunday. I say my prayers every day. I read my Bible all the time. Because you see, the reason is King Jesus is coming back to set up His kingdom. And if we expect to be part of it and enter into His kingdom, our heads and our hearts have to be changed. Only then will we receive that victory that the song says we will receive. As I read over some of this week and thought about this and pondered this, it wasn't until actually this morning when I was in the shower that I really got to thinking of what Jesus was saying here. And I asked myself three questions. What was Jesus saying? Why was He saying this? And what would be the focus of His ministry today and His words to you and I today if He stood here? First of all, Jesus was saying this because the kingdom of God was at hand, and it is now at hand. You see, the belief in that time, the teaching, the biblical teaching and the prophecy was that the kingdom of God would come when the Messiah came. And Jesus was saying, the Messiah is here, the kingdom of God has begun. He was saying this because the concept was that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God only involved certain people who were Jews. They were Abraham's children. Because they were born into a special family and had special privileges, Jesus said, no, that's not it. It's not positional, it's relational. And you see, His message of repentance was not to condemn. It never is. The message of repentance is meant to save. It's meant to guide us, to help us, to bring us back and to save us when we backslide. It's meant to bring us into the fold when we don't yet know Christ or haven't accepted Him. Not to condemn us and say you're nothing but a worthless human being. It's meant to say to us, and it was meant when Jesus said it, that I love you. I want you to be part of the kingdom. But you need to change your way of thinking so that you can come in and be part of that. And I ask, what would be the focus of Jesus' ministry today in our world? What would be His words to us? Because so many times we go to seminars, we hear all kinds of talks about the way we should do things, the way we should do church, the way we should evangelize, what our message should be to bring people into the church. You want to know something, folks? Jesus' ministry would be the same, and so would His words today. To the whole world. Repent and believe. The kingdom of heaven's here. The kingdom of heaven has nothing to do at all with the family that we're born into, that the church we attend, how successful we are in our jobs, how many good things that we've done, the number of degrees that we've accomplished in our life, or what we've done. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with the acceptance of the ways of the King and the King's standards. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they had it right. They thought that because they were children of Abraham, because they were more righteous, because they were living a certain way, they were fulfilling the law, they were dotting their I's and crossing their T's, they were being seen in the synagogues, sitting in the best places, because of all of that, because of their position, that they were part of the kingdom of God. And what did John the Baptist call them? A brood of vipers. Offspring of snakes. I really wish that someday we could have Jesus come and preach for us on Sunday morning, although I do believe in his complete presence with us here, and I know that I don't stand here and speak on my own. But sometimes we get caught up in all the good things that we do in life. And boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to have the man himself stand here and say to us, my message is the same. It's right there in red. It's repent and believe. The kingdom of heaven's near. I wonder why that's so hard for people. Why is that so hard in our world today, in our culture today, to repent and believe? That's all Jesus asks. To just change our way of thinking. Because when we change our way of thinking, our way of acting will change also. We've been talking an awful lot about the kingdom, the king, and so forth in the last couple of weeks. We're leading up to Christ the King Sunday next Sunday. But I like to think of being a Christian. I like to think of being a Christian as being a part of a kingdom with a heavenly king who went away for a while, but he's coming back. But that doesn't mean we should act any different. We still have to honor him. We still have to obey him. We still have to worship him. Because when he comes back, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, you listened to me and believed. That's all I ask.